Well, it's an honor to introduce John this morning. And as you know, he is the pastor of our sister church, the Nanaimo Chinese Alliance Church, and has been willing to share with us this morning. Just by way of introduction, I have a few questions for John, just to give us a bit more background. And so my first question, John, is how did you come to faith in Jesus?
Okay, thank you. It's an honor for me to be here. I was born, raised, and went to college in China. And all that time, I was an atheist. And I came to the U.S. as a foreign student in 1986 and started to go to a Chinese church there on and off for about 2 years. And then a dormitory friend's sudden death in 1988 awoke in me a longing for the eternal life. And just not long after that, I made the decision to accept Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord.
How did God call you into ministry?
Okay, soon after I accepted Christ, I had this burden in my heart to know God more deeply and to love Him more intimately, and also have this great burden for the Chinese soul, because I was the first people from mainland China to become a Christian in that church back in 1988. So after a few years of working in business and accounting, and after I got my U.S. Green card in 1993, I felt led to pursue seminary studies. And so through the years in seminary and also regular involvement in the local churches, I just my call became increasingly clear and intensified. So I'm nearly convinced now that one day in His court is better than 1,000 days elsewhere.
What are your greatest challenges and opportunities as a Chinese Alliance Church in Nanaimo?
Okay, in our church here, I think one of the greatest challenges is the student and youth ministry. There are many Chinese students at the VIU here, but we have yet to have ways to attract them to our church. And also, many of the kids of our families are growing up to be teenagers, and we still are looking for ways to lead them to the law, to grow up in the law. And many of them are quite musical or know some kind of musical instruments. So that's one thing I have talked to Joel, your pastor here, about. Maybe down the road, I would love to organize a youth worship team somehow. I guess some help from some of you. That would be wonderful. And there are many Chinese immigrants here in Nanaimo. The number of them has been on the rise steadily. Many of them just came and bought a house here, sent their kids to school here, and the wives stay here, the husbands stay in China. So those are both opportunities and challenges for us. The Chinese population here is about 2,000 to 3,000 in Nanaimo. So I see that as both an opportunity and responsibility for us to spread the gospel. So that's what we are at this point right now. And I'm really grateful that the congregation here give us this opportunity to share the use of this fabulous building. And I'm really thankful for all of you, and that we are partners in reaching out to the lost and in building up God's kingdom here in Nanaimo. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, John. That was very informative, giving us a glimpse into your world. I'd like to pray for you now before you speak. Father, we thank you for John's obedience in following you, in responding to your call, and in ministering to the Chinese community here in Nanaimo. We ask, Lord, that you would give him and his congregation many opportunities to reach into this Chinese community, particularly with the young people, students here, and that you would continue your harvest through his obedience and through the efforts of him and his congregation. This morning, we want to commit him to you as he speaks. Lord, would you give him your words? Would you guide his thoughts, his words? And we look to you, Father, for encouragement today. Bless your servant John as he ministers to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I'm sharing with you today this topic of loving God, the first commandment, restored to first place. We all know this is the first commandment. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Okay, we all know this, but is this really the first and greatest commandment or greatest thing in our life? Okay, loving God is the first commandment, meaning it's what God wants first in God's heart. It's the first priority to God. So Jesus did not call it the first option, but it's the first commandment. Now, God already has everything he wants to have, yet he still is searching for something else. He's still searching for something, and there's something he wants first, and that is our love and our heart. It is your heart, and it's my heart that God is still searching, and that's what he wants first in his heart. That's the mystery of our life, of the whole human life, the history of our life. Where do you find our meaning of life? Where do you find the satisfaction of our life? All hands in this first commandment. He wants our voluntary love. At the end of the age, everyone will bow down to worship God. But that's at the end of the age. That's the obedient. Everyone has to bow down. But at this point, he wants you to choose freely, because he has given all of us the freedom to choose. And that's why he's giving us this commandment for us to choose. And all of God's commandments are for our benefits, for our goods, because God is love. Just like the parents, we give our kids commandments. Don't go out to the street or don't eat too much candy, whatever. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. Okay? And one of the most important questions for us to ask God is, what are you looking for? What do you want, God, before anything else? What do you want from me? What are you require of me? What can I do so that I can make you happy and then I can be happy? I can be satisfied. So when we find what God is looking for, then we will find what we are looking for. We will find the answer to what we have been looking for, we have been searching for all our life. Bernard Clairvaux is a 12th century saint. He said this, God causes you to desire and he himself satisfy your desire. Our desire for God is already given by God. It's already a grace from God. Okay, and then he said, God hopes to be so happily loved that no one will love him in vain. God wants to be loved. The reason God created all of us is because he wants to have objects of love. And he wants to be loved. God wants to create a loving human family. And Bernard said, his love both prepares and rewards ours. He prepares our love. He gives us the desire to seek him, to love him. And then he rewards our love. He himself is our reward. And his love is our reward if we seek him you will find him. If you seek his love, you will be happily rewarded. Bernard says something also in this way. He said, nothing really satisfies us. The wealthy always want more money. The well-dressed women always want better clothes. Men with beautiful wives always have a wandering eye for other beauties. Isn't that true? Unless you are a saint. Okay. Now, some of us are saints, and you have gone beyond that. That would be wonderful. So, Psalm 16 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy is not found in anything else in this world. Not anything that you are daydreaming for. Not anything you are laboring for. If you are not seeking after God wholeheartedly. So that's why he called this the first commandment and the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, meaning that's most important, most critical, most serious, and most wonderful, most excellent. The way of love is the most excellent way. God is love. Human beings are also love, because we are created in God's image. So love is most natural to all of us. The thing is, what do we love? And how do we love? We usually place our love in thousands of wrong places. That's why we seek one thing after another, and then we never really happy, never really satisfied. So that's why God gave us this and called this the first and the greatest commandment. So many of us are searching to know the will of God, but we need to ask, what is the first issue in the will of God? First, God's will is to strengthen our heart's response to him in love. God wants us to love him. But it takes God to love God. It takes God's grace to love God. So God, when God gives you a commandment, there's a saying, there's a philosopher says, art implies care. Art. When God gives you a commandment, you should love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That means that you can do it. Otherwise, he will not give you that commandment. Art implies care. So how can you love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength? You need to have God's grace. You need to ask for his grace. You need to ask for the Holy Spirit to impart the love of God into your heart, the grace of God into your heart, pour into your heart. Then you will be able to fulfill this commandment. So for God, it's the first commandment. It's more important than our ministry assignments, or anything, any life accomplishment. Whatever we're trying to do every day, even building a big ministry, or how many people are coming to our churches, or whatever we do in life, none of these are more important in God's heart than loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we need to ask, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Why are you allowing certain things to happen or to continue happening or to just continue existing in my life? For those of us that seem to be in some kind of difficult or maybe frustrating situation sometimes, we need to ask God this. What are you doing? God is after our heart. He wants to wake us up to reveal and impart his life, his love to us. Our heart is in pain because it's not in alignment with God. That's the symptom. The heart's in pain, just like your body is in pain, meaning there's some illness, there's something need to be healed, there's something need to be adjusted. So when you feel pain in your life, God says all things will work together for those who love Him. Work together for the good of those who love Him. Romans 8, 28, 29. All things, meaning everything, everything that's happening in your life will work together for your good, for our good, but only for those who love God, only for those who put the first commandment at the first place in their life. So everything God does, He does it first for love and for awaken our love to Him, and to strengthening our love in Him. So David says, Psalm 27, one thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to see the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in His temple. David, we all know he's the king of Israel. Okay, this one thing in the original language meaning one thing only. There's only one thing I have asked and I will seek after. You know, David is the king of the nation. It's like it's the president of the most powerful nation in that history, in that time. So he has many wars to fight. He has many things to a minister, he has a huge family to take care of. But he said, there's one thing, there's only this one thing, is to dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to see His beauty. I want to see His beauty. Seeing His beauty, then you will be happy, then you will be satisfied. In Revelation 4, or the 24 elders surrounding the throne is worshiping God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then they place their crown on the floor, right? What does it mean by holy? What does it mean by holy? Holy meaning is different than secular, the normal thing that you know of. Holy. Holy, holy, it actually means so different, so different, so different, so beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful, so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. So that's the beauty of the Lord that David has tasted in his life, and that he longs to see again. He longs to spend his time on earth as well as in eternity, just to enjoy the presence of God, the fullness of joy in His presence. Brother Lawrence is a kitchen aid. He's not even a cook. He's a kitchen aid in a monastery. Has lots of things going on every day, lots of errands to do, but then he tries to practice seeking the presence of God. He tries to stop himself and say to God once in a while, "I love you. I desire you. I need you." Okay, because he's so busy, he practiced this for 40 years. And he said the secret is not the length of your talking to God, but the frequency of your talking to God. He tried to punctuate your day with many stopping points, just to say, to shout to God a loving ejection, per se. "I love you. I need you. I desire you." So after 40 years, the presence of God is so filled in his life. Throughout the day, even working in kitchens, nonstop working in kitchens, he feels the presence of God with him. He feels the peace. He feels the calmness, the joy, and the love of God. And when people came to him for help, people with problems, with issues in their life. They came to Brother Lawrence for help. When they just sit in his presence, even before they ask him a question, they felt the questions already answered. The problem has already solved because the presence of God is in there. And Brother Lawrence said something. He said, seeking the presence of God is the business of my life. It is the sole focus of my whole life. The business of your life. So we need to ask, what is the business of your life? What is the business that occupies your heart every day? From morning to evening, what's in your heart? What's your business? Now, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we need to war against distractions. There are many distractions in our life. There's a story telling that a man goes to a forest to hunt a tiger. He wants to hunt tiger because when they get a tiger, you get lots of money, okay? You get everything, okay? But then when he goes in there, there's so many mosquitoes start biting him. So he's just killing mosquito, killing mosquito, killing mosquito, and then he walk ahead a little bit, more mosquitoes surrounding him. So he kills mosquitoes, and all day, after all days in the forest, he kills lots of mosquitoes and hunts none, no tiger. So that's the distraction. The next day he goes to the forest, mosquitoes came, and he said, okay, I'm not going to kill mosquitoes now. Pressing forward. But then he sees rabbits. Rabbits is good. So he hunt the rabbit, he shoot the rabbits, and then go forward, see another rabbit, shoot that. He shoots three rabbits that day. He went home with three rabbits. He's kind of happy, he's kind of satisfied. But then where's the tiger? The rabbit is good, but it's not the best. So we need to avoid majoring in minors. We need to beware winning the small battles but losing the whole war. We are fighting many things in our life. We are strengthening, we are endeavoring to get many things. Some of them are mosquitoes, some of them are purely distractions, but some of them are good things, but they are second best. They are not really first. They are not really most important in your life. The second best is the greatest enemy of the best. A lot of things are good, but it's not the first. It's not the greatest commandment that God wants. God does not want to be in the second place of your hearts. He wants to be the first. Satan is the opposer. He's opposing God in our hearts. The enemy gains everything if he steals away our heart for God, our intimacy for God. We all know the enemy's schemes is lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Satan is a liar and deceiver. The power of demons comes from falsehood. So when we turn from God to seek satisfactions from something else, that thing become your idol. What is an idol? An idol is something that's false, but it looks really real. It looks like it's going to satisfy you. It looks like if you get this time, you'll be set for life. You will be happily ever after. That's your idol. So many of our thoughts and our emotions are false. They are polluted, they are distorted by the father of liars, father of lies. Our heart must be kept focused and clean with diligence. I think I missed something. Huh? The power says we need to keep our heart with diligence. So we need to resist being entrenched in vain imaginations that cause our emotion to be progressively stirred by various lusts. Okay, the lust here is not just immorality. It includes bitterness, anger, and selfish thoughts. Those are also lusts. We express our love to God by resisting emotions contrary to His will. So we need to love God with all our heart and also with all our mind. Our mind is created with such a glorious potential that many of us are very casual about what we are thinking, what's in our mind, or what we are imagining. How do we use our mind? We often fill our mind with entertainment or daydreaming about vanity. What we do with our mind greatly affects our capacity to love. Garbage in, garbage out. Right? We all heard that. The language of the human spirit is images and pictures. Our mind is an internal movie screen that continually shows us pictures. We are the producer, the leading actor, actress, and we are the consumer in this whole scheme of things that's happening. Non-stop movie that's happening in our mind. We cannot shut down the images, but we can redirect them. We can replace dark thoughts with new ones. We can replace bad images with good ones. We can rewrite the script of the movie by reading and meditating on and praying over God's word on a regular basis. This will not happen in a minute. It takes persistent practice and discipline. It's just like a field. Our mind is like a field, like a farmer, right? A farmer, if wants something to grow in the field, he needs to, first of all, he needs to pull out the weeds and pick the stones away. And secondly, he needs to sow in the right seeds, right? So planting the seeds of the Word of God, that's one thing. The other thing, you need to guard your eye gate and your ear gate. What's going into your mind? John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, okay, he wrote another book called The Holy War. And in that book, he says, our spirit, the human spirit, is like a city. In this city, there are gates, doors. And one of the gates called eye gate, one of the gates called ear gate. He said, these two gates are the gates that the enemy most often, most likely will attack first. Is through the eye gate and the ear gate. So we need to guard our eye gate, ear gate, and so that we can guard our heart and our mind. Weapon for the war, meditating on the Word of God and praying watchfully and always. So we need to ask ourselves, what is our heart's desire? What do you spend time daydreaming about? What do you think you really want to have? Is that what God wants you to have? Is that something that would really make you happy once you get it? Ask God. We can ask God. We can pray and ask God to reveal to us any false thoughts, any false desires and reactions in our hearts. James 4:2 said, you don't have because you don't ask. If you feel that you don't really desire God that much, you just come to church every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, that seems that's your Christian walk. You don't feel a desire for God because you don't ask. We can ask God for the desire for God. I already said that the love of God is a grace from God. It's from God. You can ask Him. So ask God for the grace of desiring God. Ask God for the grace to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So desire and seek. Desire is the most powerful thing in human life. That's why God gave us this first commandment, to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Praise the Lord.